So, interesting Ashgacha Pratis was that we discussed a question in the shir yesterday about why is it so fundamental to our belief to have a belief in Tchias HaMeisim. You know, it could be a good yid. And granted, I don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim. I believe in Torah. I believe that Hashem created the world. I do all my mitzvahs. I keep Shabbos. You know, I have full emunah, but Tchias HaMeisim, that's your credit. Hashem put Tchias HaMeisim, that's Tchias HaMeisim. Why all of a sudden you have your koifer, you have a dinner of goy, we throw the guy into a bar and not pick him up. We lend him money with ribbis. I wouldn't eat his shechita. He's a horrible person. Say lashon hara about him, barabim, terrible guy. He wouldn't let my kids get anywhere near him. Like what's the big deal? So, so that was a question that we had yesterday. That's the way we asked, maybe. That's a question we asked, and we were talking about a pshat, how it's not about the emunah of how you die, it's about the emunah of how you live. A person has to understand Tchias HaMeisim to know how to live their life. That was what we're saying. Well, Maisa happens to be, last night, I was at a shir of a different person. I go to shir Monday nights, of a Rebbe of mine. And last night he asked this question in the shir. This is another Hashgacha Pratis. So you were saying a little bit of another knech that the belief in Tchias HaMeisim is a certain belief in Nitzchias, certain belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, is eternal. Certain belief in the eternalness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way he runs the world. And the way he explained it is that there's certain things that Hashem lets us do Bechira. But if you take Bechira too far, you could destroy the world. At some point, Hashem is directing the world to come to its Tachlis. And we have to understand that everything comes back to the Tachlis. And Tchias HaMeisim shows us that point. That Lamaisa, you do what you have to do. And you did, Hashem gave you Bechira. And that Bechira is going to cause you Neshama certain things. We're going to have to Masak in the Neshama. We're going to have to take it to Gan Eden. We're going to take it and everything. But at the end, Hashem is going to have the world the way he wants to have the world. And at the end, there'll be a Tchias HaMeisim. And everyone will live in the way that Hashem wants us to live the world. So there's this duality of these two tracks going on. That we're sitting here, we think we're controlling everything. And Hashem does a, like we learned in the Nefesh HaChayim, Hashem did, in the Tzimtzum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled himself back to allow us to think that we're like, yeah, it's all good, it's great, whatever. And in the meanwhile, Lamaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on top of me, I was like, okay, you guys, let me know when you're done and I'll fix up the problems, right? So it's like, that's exactly what's going on, right? So it's like let's say a mother allows their child to bake the cake, but she's standing there. At some point, it's not going to get to the point that the kid is going to botch up the cake. Because at some point, the mother will come in and be like, yeah, let me just, fix that up. Fine, you can keep going there. So there's room for Bechira, but there's also the general hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And this is the whole sefer, Das Tevunai, so the Ramchal is based on this concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but then gave room for Bechira, but at the same time, the world is going toward, the point of the world is the Megala, the Yichud of Hashem. But we can't be Megala, he could not be Megala, the Yichud of Hashem, fully, without allowing for Bechira, but if you allow too much Bechira, then no one will recognize the Yichud Hashem. So Hashem is still directing the world to reach that goal. So that's the way he touched up the necessity of the belief in Tchias HaMeisim. All right, anyway, I'm just throwing that out there as another pshat. Okay, we're continuing these scary things about the din that we have to go through eventually. And the Gun says, "Achad asar masois tzarech adam linsoya ad shiyavu l'makom menuchasa." A person will have to go through 11 stops before they get to Makom Menuchasai of Gan Eden. Okay? Their neshama, after the death, is going to do some ping pong before it gets settled. Unless, you know, Harisha mi basically the kever. First one is that it's removed into the kever. Hasheni hu mi kever leganim. That's just the point. Right? Now he says here a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that tzaddikim are nimshal to a salamander. It's such a Gemara. Because the Gemara says that just like the salamandra, the or is not shoylet bohem, so the or of Gehenim is not shoylet in tzaddikim. So the question is, why are the tzaddikim in Gehenim in the first place? To say that, hey, the or is not shoylet on them. So the Goyin says, Sha'afim mutzadik gomer tzarch laver began. The Goyin says, you have to go. It's just maybe the R is not shoylet, but you got to go. Everyone's got to make their trip down south.
And the stops are the same. What happens there?
Right. Apparently, the stops are the same. What happens there is different. Yeah. Then he starts coming back up. Hashlishi megehenim legan eden. Right. Then Gan Eden l'shiva rakim. Then m'shiva m'sham l'gan Eden ha'elyon u'v'chomakom tachlit and din v'cheshbon. And there will be a din v'cheshbon every single one of those stops. So again, like I said before, when we introduced this parak, we are going to just read what the Goyin says. We're not necessarily going to explain and expound on some of these concepts. They're too complicated. He gets involved here in a concept called Nara Dinar, which is, the Gemara discusses it. Again, I'm not fully equipped to deal with it, so I'm not going to really get involved. But it says, Nara Dinar, Mafsik, Bein Eretz Yisrael, Shomal Lechutz La'aretz. Kamoya Yardin Lamata, Vuhu Gehenim Shomaylo, Vekoidim Shenichnasin Lagan Eden Ha'alyon, Tzarech Lavar B'Nar Adinar. So Nar Adinar is some sort of Nar which a person's Neshama needs to pass through in order to enter into Gan Eden, which is Keneged, the Yardin, meaning the, there was a river, just like in this world, for the Klal Yisrael to get into Eretz Yisrael, they had to pass over a river. So too in the next world there will be, as well, it will be like that. The Goyin now compares what's going to happen to the Neshama like a Hagala process. Like being Machsher. Arba mine Hagala yesh. When a person wants to kasher something, prepare kalim for to use, there are four methods of kasher. Dahainu libun be'or, straight up libun. Okay, libun means you have to kasher it all out, burn out everything. Hagola b'chamin. The other one is it doesn't burn it out. See, in Lumdus, the difference between libun and hagola is libun, you put the kli in the oven and it burns out all the blius, all the treif. Hagola, it doesn't burn it out. It brings it out. It brings it out. You boil the pot and the blias come out. Shehu mayim ve'esh. So that's a combination of mayim and esh. Utvila b'tzaynin. Then there's an option of tvila. If you buy a good kosher kli from a goy, you just have to tovel it. It's preparation. Uklicheres, and you have a klicheres. Shvirasan metaharasan, you got to break it down. Okay, now truth is that we had a Gvaldika remez already in the Ruach Chaim from a Nefesh HaChaim. He already said this concept that Torah is like an Eish, and therefore he says that either you have a choice, you could either metar your neshama with the Eish of Torah, or there's other Asian in other places waiting for you to be Matahari and Mashallah. But Al Kapanim, He says, "Kenegdon arba minim." So each one of these methods will be used for different people. Hatzadikim, beinonim, rishoyim, and behemoth, which are rishoyim gemur, meaning they're total goftik. Now, the way we're going to define this is how much are you in touch with your guf, and how much are you in touch with your neshama. A tzaddik, the assumption is, he is in touch completely with his neshama. So, just therefore, the guf is just the problem with the neshama was just that it came in contact with the guf. So, therefore, as long as you toivel it, it's good. Clean it off from its contact with the guf, and it should be fine. No problem. The Beinanim, they have a little bit of both. So they need to use Eish and Mayim. They have to do Agala. In other words, Agala means that really the Kli is good. The Kli is good. It's just there's a little stuff mixed in. So Agala takes it out. There's Shoyim. You gotta make it all over again. Basically, the Gemara says that Libun is as if it's like a new Kli. You gotta put it in the oven and it becomes like a new Kli. To the point that if you do Libun on a Kli, there's a tzad in the Gemara that it even becomes tar. It's like a new Kli. It's not just becomes kosher. Rishon Gemurim means that their neshama basically became tuffle to their guf completely. They didn't live in a shamanic life. They had no. You know, they didn't have, they weren't in touch with their neshama. So it's not going to work to kasha it. You got to just destroy it because there's nothing left to work with. So he says, now when you go through this naradinar, tzadikim nidon neshama tzoynin. The tzadikim just go betzoynin, or cold water, like we said, or shoyim go beish, beinonim b'mayim beish, which is our goal. Holchem achar nefesh ha-bahamis, holchem libo, they just get lost there. Ki kli cheres, ki bin shenishbura, ein lot arkana. Okay. Okay. So, look. I'll try to pick out a few more pieces that may be in the gap, but like I said, this is going not playing any games over here in this parak. And, you know, serious stuff. Okay. Lamaisa, there's no shir tomorrow or Thursday. I will not be here. I will be out of town. It'll be hard for me to do it from there. So let's pick it up Sunday, Be'ez Hashem, okay? We'll see everyone Sunday, Be'ez Hashem.